Every Christian has an assignment from God. God has created you to carry out an assignment. There's a problem in our world, and God is calling you to solve it. And whatever problem God is calling you to solve, that's your mission. But how does God react if a Christian refuses to go on his mission? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down from
the Lord. Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will read a series of messages out of the book of Jonah. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a look in the book.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he's real. I know you. say yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, he's real.
Oh, yes, he's real.
I know you.
I know you.
I know you.
I know you.
For those of you who have your Bible, would you please stand to your feet and open up the Word of God to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Amen. Lord willing, I'll be preaching through the book of Jonah if it's the Lord's will.
Amen.
Amen. And I want you to look at Jonah chapter 1, and I want to look at the first four verses. The scripture says in Jonah 1, beginning with verse 4, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. I want to talk about the bad habit of God. The bad habit of God. High five somebody. I'll explain it later on. The bad habit of God. Amen. Y'all praying for me this morning? There was a television show that I used to watch when I was a little boy. And the show began by a man listening to a tape recorder. The voice would come on there and say, good evening, Mr. So-and-so. And then the voice would begin to tell him about a problem. That a problem that was in a certain city, in a certain country. And the voice would even tell him who's causing this problem in this certain city, in this certain country. Matter of fact, he would often get an envelope with some information in it, and he would often have some pictures. And it would show him the pictures of these men and women that was causing the problem in this particular city. And then the voice would say, your mission is to do such and such a thing if you choose to accept the mission. And because this was a secret mission, the voice would say, this tape is going to self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Right.
Now, that mission was so great and so dangerous that they called the show Mission Impossible. Oh, you've been watching it. But as long as I can remember watching that show, I can never remember one time that the man rejected the mission.
That's
As long as I have been watching that show, even the reruns now, not one time did the man say, I don't want me and my team to accept this mission. They always accepted the mission, regardless how dangerous or how difficult the mission was. They always accepted the mission. When we come to this book of Jonah, God comes to Jonah. He calls Jonah and say, Jonah, we got a problem. We got a problem in this city called Nineveh. We got some wicked folks down there in Nineveh. And I need you, Jonah, to go on a mission. And I need you to preach against that wickedness in that city. Well, rather than Jonah accepting the mission, Jonah rejected the mission. As a matter of fact, when we look at the text, the Bible said that not only did Jonah just reject the mission, Jonah tried to run from the presence of Almighty God. The Bible says that Jonah got on a boat that was going to Tarshish, and the Bible says that he paid the fare. And it looked like everything was going along A-OK until we run to verse number 4. The Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into a sea. In other words, God would not leave Jonah alone. That's the bad habit of God. When you turn your back on God, God won't leave you alone. See, this is what I mean by the bad habit. I'm not talking about a problem that God can't solve when I say the bad habit of God. Because we know that there is no problem that our God cannot solve. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. There's nothing too hard for God. When I'm talking about bad, I'm not using the word bad in the sense of evil. But I'm using bad in the sense of obvious, noticeable. It's just like if a person got a bad cold. How do you know if a person got a bad cold? They are coughing. Their nose is running, stuff coming all out the nose. They blowing their nose. They sneezing. When they talk, they barely talk. They barely can say stuff. It's because they got a bad cold. It's quite noticeable that something is not quite right with them because they got a bad cold. When I say the bad habit of God, I'm saying something that God does on a regular basis, and it's quite noticeable that he do it. God, on a regular basis, when somebody rebel against the revealed will of God, God goes after that person. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, God won't leave the rebellious Christian alone. Oh, all you got to do is read your Bible. That first story, Adam and Eve, they'll tell you that they messed up there in the Garden of Eden. Even though they rebelled against God, God wouldn't leave them alone. Noah got drunk, but God wouldn't leave him alone. Abraham was a liar, but God wouldn't leave him alone. Moses came up with all excuses why he should not go and tell Pharaoh to let the people go, but God wouldn't leave Moses alone. Samson and David and Solomon, they was womanizers, fornicators, adulterers, if you please. But God wouldn't leave them alone. Jeremiah tried to retire and quit on God. But God sent some fire and shed it up in his bones. And Jeremiah said, I got to say something. I got to talk about God. God wouldn't leave him alone. Peter was a lying, cursing fisherman, but God wouldn't leave him alone. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what your bad habit is, but God said, I'm not going to leave you. You can try to run from God if you want to, but God, Holy Spirit, is like a hound dog, and he'll sniff you out. God won't leave you alone. That's the bad habit of God. It happens on a regular basis. Why is it, though, that God won't leave you alone? Can I give you three reasons why God won't leave you alone? The first reason that God won't leave you alone is because of the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence of God. That's just a big fancy theological word that basically means that God is everywhere. That's why God can't leave you alone, because God is everywhere. See, when we fall out with folks, if we get upset with our parents, or our parents, and we don't see things eye to eye, we just kindly remove ourselves from their presence. In other words, we get out of their face. If we having a problem with somebody on the job, we just remove ourselves from their presence. We get out of their face. If sisters and brothers can't get along with each other, they just remove themselves from each other's presence. They just get out of one another's face. Even here in church, when we start having problems, we just get out of one another's presence. We just get out of one another's face. But when you try to get away from God, you don't see things eye to eye with God. You always in his face. I don't care where you go. You can leave Dallas and go to Hawaii, but you're still in his face. You can go from Dallas to Japan, but you're still in his face. See, running from God is like getting on a treadmill. You're using a lot of energy, but you ain't going nowhere. You're right there in God's face because of the omnipresence of God. And so that's why it's so hard for God to let you go, because you ain't went nowhere. You're right there in his face. It's like the man one day was shopping there in Jerusalem, there in the market, and there in the marketplace, he bumped into death. And when death saw him, death put his hands over his mouth and said, wow. And death looked so shocked. Death was astonished. Death was amazed to see that man. And when that man saw death, the man took off running, and he ran over to one of his friend's house, the wisest friend that he had, and said, man, I need some advice. He said, man, I just bumped into death down at the marketplace there in Jerusalem. What do I need to do? He said, man, you better run on back up there to Galilee then. You better get on out of Jerusalem, and you better get on back up north and run up there to Galilee. And that's what the man did. The man got in his car, and he drove on up there to Galilee. Well, the next day, he was out walking through the neighborhood, and who did he bump into? He bumped into death. And the man said, wait a minute. Death? Did I see you yesterday there in Jerusalem? Death said, yeah. That's why I was so surprised when I saw you in Jerusalem, because I had an appointment with you today right here in Galilee. See, when you run from God, it's like running from one place, but as soon as you get to the next place, you bump right back into the presence of God. You're always there. In his face. That's why it's hard for God to let you go, because of the omnipresence of God. But number two, God can't leave you alone because of the sovereignty of God. That's just a big fancy word that basically means that God is in charge. that God is supreme ruler. He's over everything. See, many of us in the church today, we got a problem because our God is too small. See, basically, many church folks, they got the wrong view of God. Not so much y'all here at Bible Way, but them church folks that you know, they got the wrong view of God. They see God like a lit bellhop, like they serve. So they just rang the bell. Come here, God. I need you to get me a car. Come here, God, I need you to get me some clothes to wear. Come here, God, I need you to get me another job. Come here, God, I need you to get me another husband. We constantly call on God and look at him like he's our servant rather than we're the servant of God. That's because we got a bad view of the sovereignty of God. See, when you got the right view of the sovereignty of God, you see, like the psalmist said in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So you see God as the supreme ruler. You see God as the King of kings. You see God as the Lord of all. And so how can you say no to somebody who's ultimately in charge? See, we see ourselves. We set ourselves up as like the traffic cop in our life. And we look at God like he's one of the drivers out there on the interstate. And so we look at God as God start coming into our life. If we want God into our life, we just wave him on in. Come on, God. And if it's something that we kind of got a problem with, we're not sure about, slow it down now, God. I mean, you can bring it on, but I got to check this out, you know. Come on. And then if it's something that we don't like, we just say, stop that, God. Don't bring that up in him. No, so we just reject the will of God because we are in control. We controlling the flow of things in our lives. But that's not how it is. God is the big traffic cop in our life. And see, God is the one that says, stop it. That's not my will for your life. You can't bring that up in here because that's not my will for you. I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to do that. So God has the stop sign. And if it's something that God wants us to do, but God said, now you're going to have to be careful doing it now. Slow it down a little bit. You can come on, but you're going to have to take your time and kind of navigate through this thing. And so God, he kind of put the caution light out on you. And then other times, God give you the green light, and he just wave you on in. And he says, come on, this is the will of God for your life. So come on and do this particular thing. But because we done got things flipped, we don't understand the sovereignty of God. And so we think that we can decide on if God want me to do this thing, then let me see, do I want to do it? Or we can put God on hold. And we can reject God and turn our back on God. And I ain't gonna do that. And we think we can just go. But God ain't gonna leave you alone. God will come after you. Why? Because he's sovereign.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Come on, you can sing one time with us.